Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Health Report and Explorations, coming up after As It Is.
Hello, I'm Jim Tedder in Washington with As It Is. We come to you 7 days a week with ways to help you learn and improve your American English. We also tell you about important things that are happening so you can learn and stay informed at the same time. Today, we begin with a story about the U.S. Recent violence in the central part of the country has been race-related. Today, we will learn what some members of that community are telling their young people to do if they are stopped by local police. Then, something from the world of science. A new study shows how to influence the human brain so that it is able to learn better. That's something we can all benefit from. Let's get started with part one. Many people have heard about the shooting of an unarmed black teenager in the United States. A white police officer shot and killed the young man last month in Ferguson, Missouri. His death fueled days of unrest and racial tension in the city, just outside St. Louis. The incident demonstrated the racial anger between police and Ferguson's African-American community. Now, some African-American parents and social workers are talking to young people about how to act when stopped by police. Jerry Watson has more on the story.
African-Americans in Ferguson have long objected about racial bias or favoritism in policing. They say police officers abuse their power by unfairly targeting them for stops and searches. Many families worry that their children will have a bad experience with police.
I just tell the youngsters to be careful, ma'am. The police come to y'all and say something to y'all, then do what they say.
Tensions have increased between the mostly black community and police after the shooting death of Michael Brown. Officer Darren Wilson, who is white, shot the unarmed teenager on August 9th. Social worker Ivy Hilton says more needs to be done to stop deadly clashes between Ferguson's police and blacks.
They're just starting to shoot and kill, and it is alarming. It is very alarming, and I think that it is a new shift in how we are being seen and how we are being treated, and we better pay attention so that we can get that shift back, bring some order and some harmony back.
In 2011, the U.S. Justice Department reported that police stopped and arrested black drivers nationwide almost two times as often as white drivers. The report suggested that black drivers were nearly three times as likely as white drivers to be searched, and black drivers were almost three times more likely to be arrested than white drivers for minor nonviolent offenses. Rudy Davis is a Washington, D.C. radio personality. He serves as a mentor, a guide and friend to young African Americans. He says they rarely think about what can happen when they are stopped by police.
We don't know that just saying yes or just stopping in our actions, whatever it is that we're doing to just stop, could help you.
Some African American parents are talking with their children about how to prevent conflicts with police. Ivy Hilton has some suggestions.
I talk with young people all the time about what we call street law, being able to understand your rights, being able to know exactly what to do if a police officer comes to you.
Edward Tate offers advice to young people. He believes education is of great importance to changing their behavior with police.
We have to re-educate our people into the true knowledge of themselves as it relates to their essence, their culture, their background. So that may instill a sense of pride, positive pride, and a sense of dignity to the point where it will allow us to regulate our behavior as self-respecting people.
The police chief of Ferguson says his force will work to win back the trust of the community. But civil rights activists predict there will be more demonstrations in Ferguson and in other places. They say this will happen because people are frustrated with what they believe is more police oppression of African Americans. I'm Jerry Watson.
You are listening to As It Is from VOA, Washington. You may have heard people say that hard work is more important than the intelligence you are born with. Recently, researchers noted changes in the brains of individuals immediately after they were told this. Christopher Cruz explains what this is all about.
Hans Schroeder led a study at Michigan State University. Mr. Schroeder is a student at the university. As he noted, whether or not what people were told was true, giving people messages that encourage learning and motivation may promote more efficient performance. In the study, two groups read different stories about intelligence. One story said intelligence levels are a product of our genetic material and cannot be changed. The researchers called this the fixed mindset. The other story discussed how difficult living environments probably made individuals like Leonardo da Vinci and Albert Einstein highly intelligent. Researchers called this the growth mindset. Later, the researchers tested the group's members on what they had just read. Mr. Schroeder and his team watched their brain activity as they answered questions about the main subjects in the story. The researchers say they found that small messages about our abilities can have a big effect on our beliefs about what we are able to do. The people who read that intelligence comes from genes worked to answer the questions correctly. But their test results did not improve on later exams. But the opposite was true among those who read that intelligence can come from hard work. They showed what the researchers called a more efficient brain response after they were told their answer was wrong. This suggests they thought they could give the correct answer on the next test. And the more these individuals thought about their mistakes, the faster they answered the questions on the next test. The researchers say the study showed that those who had a growth mindset made efforts to improve and adapt. They say even a small amount of time spent on changing the mindset or beliefs of individuals can affect how their brain operates. In their words, messages about how much our abilities can change affect learning, achievement, and performance. The study was published in the journal Biological Psychology. I'm Christopher Cruz. And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Now it's time for you to print the words you just heard and download the audio. Then practice reading and speaking American English as much as you can. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you will come back again tomorrow. This is VOA, the Voice of America.
The Health Report is next, followed by Explorations. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health Report. Many college students have given up taking class notes by hand. Instead, they type on laptop or tablet computers. But scientists say that method is less effective. If you need to remember something, write it. Writing notes by hand is much better for long-term memory of ideas or conceptual information. That is the finding of a 2014 study published in the journal Psychological Science. So turn off your computer if you want to remember something. Computers can take your attention away from your work. They can be distracting. Computers provide the chance to send a quick message to a friend, check a sports score, shop, or watch a funny cat video. It is really hard to resist a funny cat video. But scientists say computers may hurt performance in school, called academic performance. Here is what the research showed. Students who type notes on a keyboard often transcribe or write down what the professor says word for word. They may write without really thinking about what they are writing. These electronic notes contained more words, but scientists say it leads to mindless transcription. However, students taking notes longhand or by writing them need to first process the information they hear. Then they record just the main points or summarize. They use fewer words. This is because people usually write slower than they type. This process of summarizing information leads to a deeper understanding, say the researchers. In the study, students listened to a teacher and then took a test. Some took notes by typing on a computer. The others took notes by writing them down. Both groups performed about the same in remembering facts, but students who typed their notes did much worse on conceptual questions. These questions required them to understand an idea. Those who typed also could not stop transcribing, even after they were told to try to avoid it. So even if you want to stop typing what you hear word for word, you might not be able to. Also, researchers found that those who wrote their notes remembered conceptual information better a week later. Scientists know that students probably will still use their laptops and tablets in class, but they suggest using some of the available technologies for writing notes by hand on computer screens. They say this might be a good compromise between old school and new school. I'm Anna Mateo.
I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Phoebe Zimmerman with Explorations in VOA Special English. Today we tell about a very popular musical instrument. Listen and see if you can guess what it is.
If you guessed it was a guitar, you are correct. Probably no other musical instrument is as popular around the world as the guitar. Musicians use the guitar for almost every kind of music. Country and Western music would not be the same without the guitar. The traditional Spanish folk music called flamenco could not exist without a guitar. The sound of American blues music would not be the same without the sad cry of the guitar. And rock and roll music would almost be impossible without this instrument.
Music experts do not agree about where the guitar first was played. Most agree it is ancient. Some experts say an instrument very much like a guitar was played in Egypt more than 1,000 years ago. Some other experts say that the ancestor of the modern guitar was brought to Spain from Persia sometime in the 12th century. The guitar continued to develop in Spain. In the 1700s, it became similar to the instrument we know today. Many famous musicians played the instrument. The famous Italian violinist Niccolò Paganini played and wrote music for the guitar in the early 1800s. Franz Schubert used the guitar to write some of his famous works. In modern times, Spanish guitarist Andrés Segovia helped make the instrument extremely popular. One kind of music for the guitar developed in the southern area of Spain called Andalusia. It will always be strongly linked with the Spanish guitar. It is called flamenco. Carlos Montoya was a Spanish gypsy. Listen as he plays a flamenco song called Jerez.
In the 1930s, Les Paul began experimenting with ways to make an electric guitar. He invented the solid body electric guitar in 1946. The Gibson Guitar Company began producing its famous Les Paul guitar in 1952. It became a powerful influence in popular music. The instrument has the same shape and the same six strings as the traditional guitar, but it sounds very different. Les Paul produced a series of extremely popular recordings that introduced the public to his music. They included Paul playing as many as six musical parts at the same time. Listen to this Les Paul recording. It was the fifth most popular song in the United States in 1952. It is called Meet Mr. Callahan.
Thank you.
The guitar has always been important to blues music. The electric guitar Les Paul helped develop made modern blues music possible. There have been many great blues guitarists, yet music experts say all blues guitar players are measured against one man and his famous guitar. That man is B.B. King. Every blues fan knows that years ago, B.B. King named his guitar Lucille. Here, B.B. King plays Lucille on his famous recording of The Thrill Is Gone. Lucille, B.B. King's large, beautiful black guitar, is important to American music. Visitors can see King's very first guitar at the Rock and Soul Museum in Memphis, Tennessee. The museum is the only permanent exhibit organized by the Smithsonian Institution outside Washington, D.C. and New York City.
Another famous guitar in American music also has a name. It belongs to country music star Willie Nelson. His guitar is as famous in country music as Lucille is in blues music. Its name is Trigger. Trigger is really a very ugly guitar. It looks like an old broken instrument someone threw away. Several famous people have written their names on it. A huge hole was torn in the front of it a long time ago. It looks severely damaged. But the huge hole, the names, and other marks seem to add to its sound. Listen as Willie Nelson plays "Angel Flying Too Close to the Ground."
Many rock and roll performers are very good with a guitar. One of the best is Chuck Berry. Berry's method of playing the guitar very fast was extremely popular when rock music began. He is still an important influence on rock and roll music. Listen as Chuck Berry plays and sings one of his hit songs. He recorded it in 1957. The song is about a guitar player named Johnny B. Goode.
Learned to read or write.
almost as many different kinds of guitar music as there are musicians. We cannot play them all in one program, so we leave you with one guitar player who often mixes several kinds of music. His name is Jose Feliciano. Here he plays a song that is based on traditional Spanish guitar music. He mixes this with a little jazz and a little blues and adds a Latin sound. Here is Bombeleo.
Si de esta manera no tiene la culpa, caballo de la sabana, porque está viejo y cansado. Lléveme bien, no te perdono. El amor llega así de esta manera, no tiene la culpa. Amores de complemento. Amores del pasado, lléveme bien, yo te perdono. No me eche al abandono. Tú eres mi vida, eres todo del pasado. Y una vez te vi llorando un día, lo mismo yo callé, el mismo soy yo. No dime perdón de Dios.
Te miro con los boquetes, oye.
This program was written by Paul Thompson. It was produced by Mario Ritter. Our engineer was Kelvin Fowler. I'm Phoebe Zimmerman.
And I'm Steve Ember. Join us again next week for another Explorations in VOA Special English. Thank you.